And good morning. You're listening to Community Living Radio here on CFRO 100.5 FM. Unless you're listening to us on CITR, which is 101.9 FM, or I cannot ever remember the call letters for Nanaimo on CHLY. So, anyway, we're here as we head into the Halloween season. The person I'm about to introduce is a really good friend, and Halloween happens to be one of her more favorite times of the year because she likes dressing up. more than that, it's a really good time when a lot of the world is celebrating those who have passed before us. To celebrate also hospice care. And the reason why is because hospice helps us get to a point by maybe relieving pain or whatever that we pass on with ease and with love. And with that, I want to introduce the executive director of Surrey Hospice, Rebecca Smith. Good morning, Rebecca.
Good morning, Michael. How are you?
I'm well. So how was all the partying last night?
Oh, it was really fun. It was so great. Lots of fabulous costumes, and it was a really good time.
Good. Because I mentioned on there that this is probably one of your more favorite times of the year because you love dressing up.
I do. It's so much fun. You get to try on different personalities and careers, and just be evil for a night, or be pretty, or whatever you want to do. It's really a good time.
Yeah, and this is coming from a person who directs an organization that really puts a lot of love into our community, right?
Oh, yeah, that's the whole point. We're a heart-centered organization, and we truly believe that it takes a community to take care of each other, and we're all part of that community. So from cradle to grave, we are here to support each other with love and compassion.
Yeah. So I know you guys are centered in the middle of the Newton section of Surrey.
Mm-hmm.
And there's other organizations that probably do a lot of the same work, but hey, they're not... don't know them quite as well as I do you, and you know, so that's why you got the call instead of those other guys. I'm trying to promote the work that you guys do, not necessarily just your organization in general.
Right.
But with that being said, most hospice is a nonprofit sort of situation, isn't it?
Absolutely. Hospice societies are independently run charities, not-for-profit societies. Mm-hmm. We do not get paid for by government. We don't have, any kind of regular funding other than applying for grants, mm-hmm. having fundraisers, support from donors, and we do have a social enterprise. Thrift store. We have one in Newton, and we've recently opened one in Cloverdale, which is unique. That one only sells tools, which is kind of interesting. Yeah. We're the only store in British Columbia that I know of that specializes in used tools.
I know that there's a tool library, but nobody that actually specializes specifically in selling of used tools.
No, we're unique. And we do depend on our thrift stores to help us stay afloat and to pay for the services we give to the people of Surrey for free.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, and those services are really important. What do some of your clients look like, those who are actually using the service?
Well, we serve a really strong mix of people, and it's interesting. Surrey is about 535,000 people at this point, and my attitude is that if you're not my client now, you will be one day, because nobody gets out of life alive, and everyone will have touched lives that will grieve your loss. And you may not know it now, but others will. And you will be affected by the loss of people who have come and gone. Mm-hmm. We serve people by providing grief and bereavement counseling, memorial services. We offer hospice and palliative services and support, respite, various other things to the people who are facing the end of life, whether that be through hospice residential care that Fraser Health Authority provides at the hospice residence called Laurel Place, or in the hospital itself for people who have very high medical needs at end of life. There are 30 residential beds, including the hospital that we serve. But there are people who are choosing to die at home that we also help make sure that they're never alone, that they have emotional, spiritual help and companionship, as well as just, you know, the supporting grieving services that they need, counseling. We have a lot of people that that just need help, and nobody should ever be alone when they're facing this kind of loss or ending.
Yeah.
So our clientele is everyone in Surrey. We offer services, bereavement counseling services in three different languages, actually four now. We also have clients from as young as 5 and 6 all the way up to over 90. It doesn't change how you feel. Loss is loss. Mm-hmm. Grief can be displayed differently depending on how you deal with things or your age and perspective on life and loss, but everyone needs help to get through it and learn to move on and keep going. There's no getting over grief, it's just getting through it and getting on with things.
That's a really good statement, because I think a lot of people think, oh, well, you'll just have to get over it. And it is a get through it.
Exactly. There's no getting over it. Loss doesn't stop. You will have always have lost someone. It's just a matter of how you deal with it and how you get on with the business of living without them and different new perspectives. So it's surprising to a lot of people to hear that with the overdose crisis, with the Cancer Society being in Surrey and offering services to people throughout the Fraser Health Authority area coming to Surrey, about 40%, 40 to 60%, depending on timing, of our clients are under the age of 12. Kids who've lost parents, siblings, grandparents, friends, and they have a hard time dealing with death. They don't understand it the same way as an adult will. Mm-hmm. And adults quite often miss the symptoms of grief in children. They just assume kids don't understand and they move on. But they really need some help too.
Yeah. Now, on the other end of things, I saw this because my kid was being born. He was born into carried straight into NICU. Mm-hmm. And you talk about there was a 13-year-old couple. They just had a child.
Oh.
The child was never going to leave that NICU.
Wow.
And it was, they had, I don't know how many social workers keep checking on them, because they were going to wake up and find out that baby had actually passed on before they left the hospital themselves.
Right.
And it's like, and their parents are like, they had their hands thrown up. They didn't know what to do, because to them, they're just not understanding. And the social worker says, it's going to hit them. And that's why I like about what you're saying here, because I've actually seen this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And grief doesn't come on time. It comes when it comes. You don't know when it's going to hit. If it's a palliative death where, you know, death is coming, people think it'll be easier to handle because you have warning. It doesn't change. Grief comes at you, and it can come like a tsunami, mm-hmm. and it will hit you and bowl you over. It may come as gentle waves, and hopefully, if you're lucky, the tsunami will ease off to gentle waves, but it will come, and you don't have any warning.
Yeah.
And it will hit you differently. Well, it just is.
Yeah, my wife and I, you know Mary.
Mm-hmm.
It's so everybody out there understands in radio land that Rebecca and I, we have Christmas parties together. we do all kinds of really fun stuff together. So, and of course, my wife comes along, right?
And, yeah, of course
your wife comes along. it wouldn't be any other way, right? So,
yeah, exactly.
But with that being said, her best friend died earlier mm-hmm. this year. She had her 50th birthday, and then, like, I think it was like 4 weeks later, she was gone. Massive
wow.
heart attack, gone.
Oh, my God. And that's
we got ready to do something. It's like, hey, we better invite Christine. Oh. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, Christine's not here.
Yeah.
Those little things, right? Like that, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. And that's one of the things that we find as well, that certain times of year or certain occasions will hit you harder than others when you're when loss comes, because you know in the summer you're off, you're running, you're having a great time, you're going on little vacations or going to the park, and life is not your normal routine. But come the fall and winter and holiday season, when you regularly see people that you perhaps haven't seen for a while, or, you know, the party comes and you expect to invite, but that invitation doesn't go out anymore.
Right.
And that's when people have a really hard time dealing with the loss, or it comes back again and the waves hit over after you think that has subsided. It doesn't. So the Surrey Hospice Society is acutely aware of this, and we offer supportive programs to help people learn to deal with those kinds of waves of grief,
mm-hmm.
Learn to have coping skills. We have one program specifically called Coping Through the Holidays that we do the beginning of December or the end of November, where we bring people together that are going through similar grief, and just give them the tools, have a sharing time, memorialize their loss, and then hopefully they will continue to support each other, having met and bonded over things that they know, because grief is a bonding experience. It brings a community together. It brings you together with others who have known the same or similar loss, and that's part of the support that we provide.
Mm-hmm.
So we do that specifically this time of year through coping. Next weekend, actually, on Sunday, we have what's called our annual Dove Release Memorial, where we meet in Bear Creek Park and memorialize the loss of loved ones. So there will be, this year there are 10 doves being released in honor of people that have passed. There's another memorializing ceremony for those who do not release doves. There's another way to memorialize. And then there's just a coming together of community, and we celebrate with music, with companionship. It's a really moving ceremony. And every year that I have been with Surrey Hospice Society, this occasion has grown. And it just shows to me that we really need to come together as a community, that we need to have those bondings and those memorials. You may have noted over recent years, Remembrance Day itself mm-hmm. gets bigger and bigger, standing room only. People need to remember those who've passed. They need to remember their connections. And it is so important for our community to do that. Surrey is a really diverse community. We have over 107 different languages, so many different diverse ethnicities, languages, cultures, religions, but we all live in Surrey, which makes us a community, and we need to come together to remember that, to celebrate that, and to just bond over common losses and common experiences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wonder as human beings how we've evolved. The community is such a big thing that without it, there's no way we could exist and get through everything we're supposed to in life as an island.
Oh no,
we need that community.
Absolutely, we're social beasts. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We need to come together, not just for memorials, but for parties, for sharing of food and stories. That's how we learn. That's how we remember. And most of learning is remembering and experience, so we can share with each other. If we all had to learn the hard way on our own, we wouldn't survive very, very long, that's for sure.
Yeah, I don't think we would have lasted 10,000 years.
No.
It's like, yeah, it's the community that makes us what we are as a species.
Exactly. So. And we need it. We absolutely need it. I mean, even as a species, we need companions. I have a cat sitting beside me at the moment. And these connections are integral to who we are and how we function in the world and how we even view the world through our connections. It makes a huge difference. It's integral to who we are as a species, as a community, as a city, mm-hmm. even individually as people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm glad that Surrey Hospice is there to help us keep that community alive in those occasions that we really need it. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
So, okay. Mm-hmm. So, for everybody out there in Radio Land, we need to keep Radio Land going, don't we?
It's part of our community. We need to reach out,
and yeah.
Sometimes radio is what keeps us connected to the people who are further afield than our next door neighbor, and it also reminds us that we're all on the same journey, one way or another. We're together, yeah. And we're connected.
Yeah. So before I carry us off to the break, it's fundraising time here in Radio Land, here at Co-op Radio. So we're looking for new members. So unfortunately, there's nobody here in the office right now. But after 11 o'clock, if you can call in at 604-684-8494, and somebody will be very happy to take your pledge and just tell them that Michael sent you from Community Living Radio, and this is one of your more favorite shows. So with that, let's get to our break. And you're listening to Community Living Radio here on CFRO 100.5 FM. And since it is pledge time, so make sure you do call in with your pledge at 604-684-8494. And we're back with Rebecca.
Yeah.
Telling us more about Surrey Hospice. Now, mm-hmm. I wonder if it is time for... You have a really cool story, and we all endear it as the teapot story. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is we all have different ways that we would like our death celebrated.
Mm-hmm.
And I use that word celebrate very carefully. Because my wish is, of course, not to have like this big funeral with everybody tearing up and everything. As like, I want everybody to come together at one big party and have one last drink on me, sort mm-hmm. of thing. So, and I think we've talked about that some, right?
Yeah.
It's like, so anyway, so tell everybody the teapot story.
Okay. Well, I'll preface it by saying that we, this is part of telling the story and sharing with people has a lot to do with the fact that we have an annual conference in January. It's the last Saturday of the month. This year coming, it'll be the 26th of 2019. It's at KPU, or Kwantlen Polytechnic University, in Surrey on 72nd. And the point of that conference is to educate people and get people talking about their death so that when we face the end, it is what we want. And to demystify and destigmatize talking about death and dying. People have a really hard time with the topic, and it's really sad because it makes it a mystery, it makes it scary, it makes it so that we don't actually have any control over the end of our lives. There's all sorts of talk about how we want to give birth and how we want to raise our children, but we never talk about how we want to see the end. And when we do, quite often people reject that talk. Mm-hmm. They run away from it. They're sad. They deny that you're going to die or that they will die. We all die. And the only way that we can do, the only way we can have the kind of death that we want or the funeral that we want is if we talk about it. So my family has a tradition in that we tend to choose cremation. And years ago, my grandfather passed, and my father and his siblings were looking for an appropriate urn or vessel for him to be, for his ashes to be placed in. And they were being shown traditional containers at the funeral home, and each of the siblings, my father being one of them, said they individually could hear their father getting angry at them, saying, "Why would you spend that kind of money on something like that? That's not me. That's not what I would do." And they universally, all together, just said, "No, we'll find something that's appropriate that we have." And he ended up being, he had been a fisherman in life, and they used a tackle box. So it made sense. It spoke to who he was. And my family has taken this on as a tradition. So he's in a tackle box. I have other members that are in containers that are very personal to them. So a number of years ago, my grandmother was 94 years old. And realizing, I think, for the first time, after a number of illnesses had slowed her down considerably, that she was not going to be here forever. And we have family gatherings where everyone comes together for feast days. This occasion happened to be Easter, and she pulled her children, and there were seven of them. She pulled them into a room, and she said to them, "So, I'm not going to live forever. And when you pick my container, I want it to be this teapot." And the reaction was horror, was denial, it was anger. "No, no, no, you're not going to die. We don't want to talk about this. That's not something that we need." Well, you can't deny somebody that truth. You may get better from being sick. You may get better from an injury. You do not get better from being 94 years old. And she was taking control of the end of her life, as she'd been in control of most of her life. She raised seven children, amazing children, and has 19 grandchildren. She wanted control. I think it's important for all of us to understand that will be our story too. What do we want our story to be? We choose our careers, we choose our partners, we choose our paths all the way up to a certain point. but we cannot let somebody else choose for us our ending. This is part of the story we write, and it's important. So she picked her teapot, and we need to make sure that what you pick is known to those around you, that you choose wisely, because this is the end of your story, and we should write our final chapter just as much as we write the middle and the beginning.
I totally agree with that. I think that's what why on this topic I've made it known among all those who are really close to me that hey, why would I want you boohooing over me then? I've laughed, I've cried with you all, and it's like, you know, so I want everybody to, you know, to have the, to share those stories.
Yeah. You know?
And that's important.
It is important. My grandmother chose a teapot because every time anyone ever came to visit her, she immediately put on a pot of tea and sit at the kitchen table and have tea with you and talk.
Well, that makes it very appropriate.
Absolutely appropriate. I have already chosen mine. It's going to be a very fancy jewelry box.
That doesn't surprise me.
Not that I'm materialistic and I don't wear a lot of jewelry, but I like blingy, sparkly things, and I think it's appropriate.
But you, I was going to say, you are a sparkle.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah. you actually have actually our friendship started a couple years ago with a huge campaign, political campaign, and and you were always laughing, you were always smiling, even when you got annoyed at another candidate during some debate or something like that, you were still smiling.
Well, yes.
Yeah, because that's who you are.
Well, absolutely. And here's the thing. My other grandmother, my mother's mother, always used to say, you know, laugh, smile, because one day you'll wake up dead, and then where will you be? She made me laugh all the time, because seriously, if you're not laughing or learning or growing, there's no point to this.
Yeah.
My point is to connect, and I love connecting with people. If you're learning and talking and thinking about something, that's the best possible thing you could do. That's why we're here.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah. It's always that way. We always wind up in some sort of a laugh, no matter how serious the topic is. Like today's topic.
Absolutely.
About hospice and what a valuable asset hospice is to our community. But isn't that part of what hospice does? Is like it lays that groundwork for people that to come together and help them find those things with that loved one to help them. I'm not exactly articulating this the way I thought I was. Okay. The common ground, yeah. so the conversation can be fluent and move, so everybody can move along with the process.
Absolutely. Actually, that's one of the things we do in our January conference. That conference is actually called the beginning of a conversation. And it's because people don't talk about death or dying that we started this conference. It's annual, and it features like at least 20 different presenters on topics ranging from advanced care planning to what grief looks like, the spiritual side of things, what actually happens, how do people connect still with those that have left and have passed through this world. How do we help with grieving? How do we help make that passage as calm and peaceful and beautiful as possible? We have various different presenters. We have exhibitors. We have examples of healing modalities or peace-finding modalities, things from everything from Reiki and threshold, and therapeutic touch to our Threshold Choir, which is a volunteer organization that sings to people at end of life. Mm-hmm. That is the most, probably one of the most profoundly moving experiences I've ever had, was being sung to by a Threshold Choir. And it is literally a lullaby that brings peace and comfort to those who are dying. So wow. It is amazing. And this conference in January is an opportunity to learn, to find ways to start conversations with your family, learning more about how to give care to the person who's the caregiver. Because quite often when somebody is at end of life, well, always when somebody is at end of life, they have somebody that's taking care of them. And mm-hmm. quite often that person is takes on a little bit of a selfless role and gets forgotten even by themselves, and they don't remember to take care of themselves as well as their loved one that's facing the end of their life. So it's a wide focused conference that encourages conversations. How do people die? What does that look like? How does it feel? How do we want that story to be told? And how do we share that with our loved ones so that they make sure that our wishes are the ones that are made happening, and yet their spirits and their loss is recognized as well and supported?
Right.
It's important.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, it's kind of funny that you mentioned the caregivers. It's something that that my family and still my when I talk to my mother, she always says, "When are you going to come back home and get a real job doing end of life care?"
Wow.
Because the reason why she retired from it is because she helped someone pass on that was the same age as my sister.
Wow. Yeah.
And she's like, okay, these people my mom's now 84 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And she only retired like just a few years ago.
Wow. Yeah. That's amazing.
And well, she was also sought after because people were like, well, everybody that she touches leaves calm, peaceful, smiling.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. It's important. It's important to understand that we need to honor people all the way up to their death.
Mm-hmm.
And palliative care, a lot of people don't even know what palliative means or what hospice is. And when they find out, it's because they're experiencing it and they need us.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is palliative just means that there's no more cures that we know of. That death is the cure to the illness that you are facing. So it doesn't mean it's immediate. It doesn't mean that it's contagious. It doesn't mean any of those things. It means there is no cure for what you are facing. That might be cancer. It may be ALS. It might be Alzheimer's. There may be any number of illnesses that we know. It might just be life itself, because there is no cure for life. As I said earlier, no one gets out alive.
Yeah.
Hospice is the belief that we matter all the way up to the moment of our passing and after as well. And we make sure that time is as gentle and loving and connected as possible. We're here to serve people and make sure that they're hopefully pain-free, and that's not just physically, but it's emotionally and spiritually as well. And that means we provide companionship. We provide therapies by counseling or art, or we have storytelling that we do where people who want know they're facing the end of their life may want to leave the story of their life, may want to tell things to their loved ones or people who come after. They need to share. And they need to make sure that the ones that are left behind are okay. That's mm-hmm. quite often the case. So it's it is one of the most honoring things that someone can do is allow you into the end of their life. It's funny, people think that my position, my job with Hospice Society must be sad all the time. And it's not. We have so much joy and laughter and connection. It is such an honor to be allowed into somebody's most intimate time of their life. At the end of your life and the beginning of your life is probably the closest that you will ever be to your absolute essence of who you are. And it is a profound honor to be part of that for someone. And we as a community really need to remember that and celebrate it and participate again.
Yeah. Okay. With that being said, we're going to take a break. Hold on.
Okay.
So on with it, and we're back with Rebecca. So,
hi.
This is our final segment, and you've painted a wonderful picture of some of the things that is spirit behind some of the things that Surrey Hospice actually does for our community. Some things I didn't know, and other things I did know. but the spirit is definitely about honoring people.
Absolutely.
So, what are some of the my favorite times that you've had with Surrey Hospice?
Oh gosh, there's so much. As I said, there's a lot of joy and laughter in my office and in our society when we do things. One of my favorite things is the Dove Release Memorial. That's coming up next Sunday, and again, free to the public to attend. It's so beautiful. And I always worry about weather because we need to have a fairly clear day for us to allow the birds to be released. And every year it ends up being the most beautiful sunny morning. And it's just so moving to see people connecting with birds, with each other, with the spirit of their loved one, and being able to release and let go of some of the grief, some of the crying, some of the sadness, and embrace the beauty and celebrate the spirit of the person that they've loved, the relationships and memories that they've formed, and it's just beautiful. So that's one of my absolute favorites. And lucky me, it's next week. But I've also had some wonderful, amazing times with other events. We do have fundraisers throughout the year that are lots of fun, and again, have an opportunity for people to come together and laugh and celebrate the people that they have loved and lost, who are here, who they share their work with, who share their days, who connect. And it's every day is an absolutely awesome opportunity to make a difference in someone's life and to help make someone's death a better one. So, but Dove Release is probably my favorite, second only to the conference in January. again free, and an opportunity to meet people from all different cultures and parts of city, of Surrey City, and share conversations that don't normally happen. And quite often we'll be in the middle of talking about something and realize that this is a unique conversation that doesn't happen easily. It doesn't happen all over the place. Maybe it should, but at least it's starting, and that's the whole point of it. And I just love and embrace that opportunity.
How did you wind up in hospice to begin with?
It's an interesting thing. I think that we quite often end up where we're needed most. Mm-hmm. And where we need to be the most. At least that's my story. I have worked in non-for-profit organizations for over 15 years, and I've run different societies, some being membership-driven professional associations, some being service-oriented. When I was presented with the opportunity to work with hospice, I wasn't even at that time aware fully of what hospice was. I looked into it, I did my investigations, and I realized hospice was exactly what I needed 22 years ago. My younger brother died at 21 after a 2-year battle with leukemia. And it was shocking and devastating to my family. We did not know about hospice at the time. He had been scheduled for a medical procedure that did not take place before it was ruled out. They waited too long, and it ended up that he was pronounced terminal. And they sent us home from the hospital and said, we can't do this for you anymore. You have approximately 2 weeks to live. Go get your affairs in order. This to a 21-year-old boy. And the rest of our family just sort of stood there with our jaws hanging open and didn't know what to do. And when he died, actually 3 months later, again, there was no support, no direction, no understanding of how this is affecting us, how to proceed, how to get through the grief. My youngest brother was 7 years old at the time, and he just lost his hero. The rest of us were adults, dealing with our own grief, not really understanding what he was going through. And this was the end of August. He went back to school 7 days later. Well, the rest of us were still sitting there stunned, staring into space in our grief. What I know now is that I work for hospice because no family, no one should ever have to go through that alone. Unsupported and lost. A 7-year-old boy every day at the beginning of school crying at his desk, not able to function, shouldn't have that. So when I found out that Surrey Hospice provides that guidance, provides the counseling, is there for families, for kids, for people facing the end, I knew I had to be there. That's how I got to be at hospice. And that's why I'm still there.
Wow. I don't think I've ever heard that story from you before. Wow.
Yeah, it's clearly there's no getting over grief. There's just getting on with it and getting through it. And for me, I need to have every day that I work, that I walk this earth, to make a difference. And I need to connect with others, and I need to know that I can help in some way, and I can.
And I'm going to say this, that seeing you work and being at some of the fundraisers and the fundraiser that started the used tool thrift store and everything, it's like I know that your heart is right in the place where our community needs it to be, so that we have an organization like Surrey Hospice there to support us. So,
thank you. That means a lot.
Yeah. No, thank you. you do a wonderful job. And I'm almost glad. Don't take this the wrong way. I'm almost glad that you lost politically.
No, don't say that, Michael.
but knowing who you are and how you serve is like, I wonder how she would have done as MP or MLA.
Well, never say never, and never say too late.
No, it's for those sort of things. It's never too late until we've closed our eyes for the last time, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And any opportunity to serve in whatever capacity is an opportunity to make this world a better place, and should never be passed up.
So, yeah, that is very true. And I think that's why every time we have a federal election coming up, and I won't be participating.
No, neither will I.
I'm going to be on the sidelines this time.
It's shocking.
yeah, exactly. Because every time it's like, oh, go grab. We need you to come photograph or video something. And this one won't. It won't happen.
So. Well, there'll be something to videotape or photograph. I'm sure there always is.
There's always something. I know I will be at some meeting somehow or another, because it's always happened that way, and I'm sure you'll be right there also sponsoring something or another too. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Somebody's going to ask, you always say. Since I've known you, you've always served the community with all of your heart and in all of your being. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's important, right? Yeah. We're only given this one life to live, and I want to live it to the absolute fullest. And I'm sure everyone does. Mm-hmm. That's what hospice is about. It's not about death. It's about life, and living it as fully and completely and connectedly as possible to your very last breath, and helping those who have lost you when you leave get on with getting on.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, I'll come to giggles again. Oh, so, You said that the next event for Surrey Hospice is when again?
Sorry, we have...
I know you mentioned the conference again. So
yes,
how do people participate in that if they want to?
The conference is free to the public. Mm-hmm. We do encourage people to register, because the first 200 people who come receive a a swag bag, a goodie bag full of information and cool stuff from our exhibitors. And you can do that through our website. It is on January 26, 2019 at the Kwantlen Polytechnic University campus on 72nd in Surrey. And the next most upcoming event is our Dove Release Memorial, which is at the Bear Creek Park Pavilion on November 4th. In the morning, I believe we start about 9 o'clock, and it's again free to the public. If you'd like to come out and see what that's all about and listen to our Threshold Choir, it'd be wonderful for our community to come together and share that opportunity. Yeah. And that's just off 88th at the Bear Creek Park Pavilion, across the parking lot from the Surrey Arts Center.
That's 88 in King George, right?
Yeah, just half a block up.
Yeah, yeah. I go. I like that place because they have a great theater company there.
Yeah.
I get.
Surrey's got some amazing things, and Bear Creek Park and the Surrey Arts Center are two of the most beautiful. So, lovely opportunity to see and celebrate what we have in the city. Mm-hmm. The Dove Release is just beautiful. And weather dependent, because we obviously don't want to hurt any birds. But every year it seems to clear up, and I'm hoping that's the same this year.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. What is the website for Surrey Hospice?
www.surreyhospice.com. Pretty simple.
That is pretty simple. Okay. So, and that actually kills the last little bits of time we would have with you today. And it's been a joy and a pleasure, as always.
I love chatting with you, Michael. It's been fun.
Yeah. So, and since Yvette didn't come, be sure to tell her I did say live on air that she's a wimp for just bailing out.
I will.
I'm too tired. I party too hard. Rebecca did it.
Yeah, I woke up early.
Yeah. So, all right. I'll catch up with you guys maybe a little later on. November 4th. I will see you guys November 4th.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That will be great.
So, yeah. And so should everybody else, especially if you live out in Surrey. Come out for the Dove Release, and God, it's almost 11 o'clock, and now my tongue starts to slow down. and it's like, just participate, and amazing things will happen. So,
absolutely, Of course, come on out and share. The events are free, but we do need your support. We're always looking for volunteers to help provide the services to families and clients. We're always looking for people to help us in our thrift stores or with our events. And, of course, attend our events, both the educational and the memorial, but also our fundraisers, so that we can continue to give the services that are so important to people and do so for free.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you again, Rebecca, and I'll see you November 4th. Bye for now.
Thank you, Michael. Bye.
Okay, that was Rebecca Smith, and make sure we all get out to Surrey Hospice Dove Release and support them. Okay, and for everybody out there listening, have a great day.